grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. The first thing that we must notice about our gospel lesson for Palm Sunday is that the Lord Jesus is intentionally and specifically fulfilling the prophecy of Zechariah. He tells his disciples to go into a village and to get the donkey that is necessary to fulfill the prophecy. They bring the donkey, Jesus sits on it, and in fulfillment of Zechariah chapter 9, he rides triumphantly into Jerusalem, proclaiming by this act that he is in fact the true king of every heart, and that he comes to Jerusalem in order to secure eternal salvation for every sinner. So the first thing that you have to grab hold of if you want to explain and understand this passage is that the Lord is very specifically communicating to everyone around him that he is the King of Israel, that he is the Messiah, the Son of God, that it is he who comes in meekness having salvation. Now, the crowds, they caught on to this. They saw him sitting on that donkey. They were all revved up because, you know, at Passover time in Jerusalem, people came from all over the world, filled the city with pilgrims. There were people in every nook and cranny in the city because of the festal holidays. So Jesus and his disciples had undoubtedly been part of a caravan coming into Jerusalem from elsewhere. And as they round the corner of the Mount of Olives and as Jerusalem comes into view, that's when the Lord communicates this wonderful truth about himself with the fellow pilgrims, people who come to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover, people whose tendency was to be devout. Right? If you were a non-devout Jew in the first century AD, you would, you know, like modern people, look for any excuse you can find not to come to church. You know, that's it, you know. I was about to get in the car and come to church, and all of a sudden I realized I had the wrong color clothes on. So, you know, of course, I had to turn around, and by the time I got properly dressed, church was over, you know. And so it is. Back in those days as well, if you were part of a pilgrim throng going to the holy city on the Passover, the likelihood is that you had a modicum of piety, because it was an arduous, long, and expensive trip to go to the holy city on the Passover. And so, to this band of people, filled with joy, filled with anticipation, desiring good things from God, Jesus proclaims to them, "I am the King who comes to you, meek and lowly and having salvation." The people notice this, and so they do a number of things. Some people take their cloaks off and spread them in the way. They give Jesus the red carpet treatment. Other people, instead of taking their cloaks and throwing them in the road, they cut down palm branches from the trees and throw them in the road. All right? So that Jesus' way is carpeted. And in the midst of their singing of praises, psalms, etc., they say this, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Now, why would they say that? Because in Psalm 118, which is a psalm about the Messiah coming on his day and fulfilling the promises of God, in Psalm 118, these words are found. Also the words, "This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." You see, the coming of Jesus, not only for the world, but also for every individual sinner, is a coming with salvation. God comes to you in Christ in order to be gracious to you. And so they say, "Hosanna to the Son of David." Hosanna is a word that is literally a prayer. What Hosanna means is, it means, "Save us now. Save us now." So when they are singing, "Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David," they are essentially praying with thanksgiving that the Lord now would save them. And they're calling Jesus the Son of David. That is a confession that he is the Messiah. And then they quote again Psalm 118. "Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the Messiah who has come to be our King and who has come to be our Savior. Hosanna in the highest. Save us now to the uttermost." You see, they are exulting in Jesus as the King who comes with salvation. Now, the thing that a lot of these people didn't understand was what it means that Jesus is the King who comes with salvation. The last thing most people were looking for was that Jesus would come to Jerusalem in order to be utterly, flatly rejected and to be handed over to the Gentiles. And after being handed over to the Gentiles, to be scourged most piteously and then to be sent to the worst kind of death. The Bible says in the Old Testament, "Cursed is anyone that is hanged upon a tree." So therefore, the cross was an especially shameful form of death because it was an accursed form of death. It's the kind of death that happens to people who deserve the worst kind of death. And so there he hung. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords hung there bearing the shame for your sins. Bearing the guilt for your sins. And it was by doing this that he won salvation for every one of us. You see, if we were left to ourselves, we'd be like the people of Jerusalem. We'd have all kinds of different attitudes about ourselves. We think that we're doing all right. You know how people are. You know, every once in a while they have a little twinge of guilty conscience, but for the most part, people think everything's fine and things are okay. and they don't really think much about stuff. And then when you start to talk to them about these things, they get real uneasy. And they, what they want to do is change the subject and think about something else. But the fact of the matter is, if it were not for the gospel, we would be like the people of Jerusalem. The Son of God comes marching in the door, and we're like shrugging our shoulders. Right? All the pilgrims, they were happy. Right? But unfortunately, they would have been happy with anything because they were pilgrims and they were looking to be made happy. You know, it's like on Easter Sunday. Everybody's happy to come to church on Easter Sunday because Easter Sunday is a happy day with lilies and all kinds of stuff like that. So people are happy to do that. They get dressed up in their finest and they come to church. But the next Sunday, not so much. The following Sunday, not so much. The following Sunday, not so much. And so, left to ourselves, we would never come to Jesus. But what we see is the Lord Jesus coming to Jerusalem. And we see Him coming determined to be Savior. Determined to fulfill the will of God. Saying in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Not my will, but thy will be done. If this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, thy will be done." And so as we think about this, as we enter into Holy Week this week, and we think about the meaning of the Palm Sunday processional, let's keep in mind that Jesus, the Savior, is coming to us with His grace. And He comes in the Word and in the Sacrament to forgive us our sins and to plant us more firmly in His grace so that we may praise Him in the same way that these crowds praised Him. But we must also remember that in order to save us, He had to pay a very great price. He gave His life a ransom for many so that we might be delivered, that we might be redeemed, that we might be eternally saved. Not because we've given our hearts to Jesus, but because He has given His life for us. And that is the focus of our Holy Week this week. He gave His life for us, that we may live in Him. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.